We have the privilege of teaching the Word of God here on the radio Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening right here on WMIE. And 10:30 of a morning, there's a rebroadcast on WWBC 1510 AM. And so there are lots of listening options. You can also listen online. If you've got a smartphone and you don't have access to a radio, you can listen on the TuneIn app. There's WMIE is featured on there. And so if you happen to be out and about or in a different part of the country, you can still listen to this radio program. Just activate it at the regular time that this program would air. If you go to the website, you can listen on demand, kind of almost like a podcast, 24 hours a day. It's accessible. Most of the countries around the world, you could log on to the website and listen to that information. But I will tell you this, there's some really big brother like coming out there. There's one province in China that if you happen to visit that region, and I can't pronounce the region, but they will download malware, spyware, intentionally. They say, we're going to need your cell phone. And if you have a certain type of phone, they will install this tracking software. It follows all of your social media contacts. It tracks your phone calls. I mean, really intimidating stuff. And so if you're going to go to that region, I encourage you to get a throwaway phone and only use it while you are there. Just a heads up out there. But most of the countries around the world, you can log on to the internet and find WMIEFM.com. Go to, scroll down to the bottom of the page, listen on demand, and you can find that information there. So I want to invite you out to our services this week. 10:30 of a morning is going to be our worship service. 6:30 of an evening, we're going to be having our evening celebration as well. And would love to have you come and visit. We were originally scheduled to have a missionary that was with us tonight, but there was a scheduling duplication, shall we say. He was supposed to be in two places at the same time and said, not a problem. We will catch you another time. And so if you'd like to come and hear the Word of God, we're being intentional in our personal development on Sunday nights. One of the things that we're striving to do is saying, you know what? I just don't want to hope that I get better in this area. I'm going to set out to be intentional about growing in this area. And so we've talked about growing in mercy, and we're going to be addressing another area of personal development this coming week. We are talking about the fourth commandment, and that is in Deuteronomy chapter 5. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So there are a lot of people who kind of view attending worship services as something that is at your convenience. Other believers treat it as disposable, that really there isn't much there to be gained or to be had. And I want you to know that the Bible says that Jesus was in the Sabbath, or he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. A lot of people want to say, well, ministry taking place elsewhere is more important than what takes place inside the house. I want you to know that God is God inside the house, and he is God outside of the house of God as well. There was a king that attacked Israel, and he was defeated when he attacked them in one topographical region. And he said, well, I'm going to attack them in a different place next year, because their God's obviously God in that region. And God said, look, he's getting ready to attack you in this region, and I'm going to defeat him so that he knows that I'm God everywhere. I'm God everywhere. And so God is God of the cosmos. He's God universally. But he's also God in the house, and we need to make it our custom the same way as Jesus made it his custom. There was a lot of things that happened in the house of God. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and talking about Deuteronomy chapter 5 as you're turning there, I will tell you that it said that you remember that you were in bondage, you were delivered by God's mighty hand, and you were delivered by his outstretched arm. So when we gather together and celebrate the Sabbath together, celebrate the Lord's Day and worship him in the house of God, what we are doing is we are celebrating God's might, his power, and his compassion that he has demonstrated on our behalf. It really is a celebration. It really is a celebration. So I pray that you join with other believers and celebrate with the Lord and with his people on a regular basis. There are a lot of people who want to adopt a very legalistic mindset, and we're going to see some of that in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. It says, at the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he, Jesus, said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, that means to make it common, and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. You see, the Pharisees had a very legalistic approach. There were a lot of guidelines that they had added to the Ten Commandments to make sure that the Sabbath was not being violated by a person. So they, in their piety, had set themselves as judge over everybody else to say, okay, you can't do this on the Sabbath. Doing this is a violation of the fourth commandment. And so they were missing out on the presence of Jesus. They were missing out on the blessings of what God can do. They were missing out on recognizing his lordship over the day. They were missing out on so much because they had sat there in judgment. You know, a lot of people miss out on the blessings of the Sabbath, or the blessings on coming to the house of God and worshiping, because they're too busy looking around at what everybody else is wearing. They're too busy critiquing the temperature, the facilities. They're too busy judging the worship and the sermon and the announcements and the carpet and the chairs. You see, if you and I set up our trip to the Lord's house as a place of judgment and condemnation, we're going to miss out on the blessings of the Sabbath. And so these Pharisees had set themselves up, and they said, "Oh, we saw your disciples violating the laws of the Sabbath." And Jesus pointed out to them their own hypocrisy and how they had overlooked some things in the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever done that around my house. Overlooking things can happen with a great deal of frequency, not in a negative way. I can overlook things that I should be seeing and I'm looking for, and my wife will say, "It's in there. Here is where it is at." And I will go in there, and even though I've looked a number of times in that same area, all of a sudden I'll go in there, and when my wife tells me where to focus, all of a sudden I see it. And Jesus does the same thing with the Pharisees here. He says, "You are overlooking the mercy of God that was demonstrated in the Old Testament, and the mercy of God that enables the priest to fulfill their functions. Let's not overlook the mercy of God." He goes on and he tells them here, as they're standing in condemnation, he says, "While you're looking for violations, there is one that is right here, right now, who is greater than this temple." He was talking about himself. He said, "You are missing out on your day of visitation because you're too busy judging others on the day when you're supposed to be worshiping God." I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. I certainly don't want to miss recognizing and honoring the presence of the King that is the one we're supposed to be worshiping in the first place. Jesus says to them here, "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless." Okay? So when people come, so I'm just going to put this out there. When people come to the house of God, it is not to be a place of condemnation. It is supposed to be a place of hope. It is supposed to be a place of holiness. It is supposed to be a place of prayer. It is supposed to be a place filled with the presence of God. It is supposed to be a place filled with the love of God. That's what is supposed. It's a dynamic place. It is an interactive place. It is a place of convergence with the people of God and the God of the people. That's what's supposed to be taking place when we come together as believers. Jesus is on the throne. When we come to church, I'll just tell you about this last Sunday. The my friend who runs the sound booth, he said, are we going to be doing the missions presentation this week? He said, because Jerry, the lady who highlights our missions program once a month, she was ready to do it last week. And it was like, oh no, I forgot to have that part of the service came up. I said, you know what happened? God, the presence of God was so real during our worship service, and there were people at the altar that I just began to move and to pray for people and minister to people who had needs throughout our service. And I said, it was such a glorious encounter with the presence of God. I forgot all about our schedule. And so I went up, I apologized that I had failed. And I said, it was just that the presence of God was so wonderful that everything else took second place. And she said, Pastor, that's exactly the way that we like it to be, is where the presence of God is on display, not in a condemning manner, but in a manner in which people are made whole. Jesus said, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You got to go back. That goes all the way back to the minor prophets, where it is prophesied, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and I believe it's in Matthew chapter 9, where he gives the assignment that they are to go and learn what this means, that I desire mercy. It is. It's in chapter 9, verse number 12. Again, it's with the Pharisees, and it was about who Jesus was eating. You see, if people are going to be offended, they're not just going to be offended by a little bit of the stuff that you do. They're going to be offended by just about everything that you do. And Jesus said, in response to them criticizing who he was having a meal with, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Now listen to this. He gives them homework. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So God is looking for people to be merciful and for him to dispense mercy when they come together. The Pharisees were given a homework assignment and they didn't do it. And Jesus here in Matthew chapter 12 says, I can tell from your life that you did not do your homework. You didn't go and learn what this meant. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You're still focused on the wrong aspect of this, of the Sabbath thing. You're missing out that it was a gift from God to his people for them to be made whole and have an encounter with him. And he said, as a result of that, you are condemning innocent people. You are condemning innocent people, people whose sins have been forgiven, people who God is not looking at in a condemning manner. He's looking at in a loving manner, in a forgiving manner. Listen, I'm not here to compromise in the area of sin. I'm not here about that at all. I refuse to not address sinful issues with people because I want everybody to have the same opportunity to receive mercy the same way that I have. But I'm certainly not going to condemn them. To condemn is not my place. My job is to show them Jesus, point them to Jesus, tell them about Jesus, demonstrate the love of Jesus, and distribute the mercy that I have been given. He says, He says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, the very next thing that happens is in chapter 9. And so before I, or chapter 9, verse 9, or chapter 12, verse number 9, don't forget that the Sabbath is what it is because the Lord decreed it so. So when we come together, we want God to have lordship in every person's life that comes to meet him. We also want him to be Lord not only over spiritual needs, but we want him to demonstrate his lordship over physical needs, over financial needs, over occupational needs, over relational issues. We want him to be Lord over all, Lord of all. He says in verse number 9, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. It went into their house of worship, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now, the reason for the question, it said, that they might accuse him. It was not because of their compassion for this man and the affliction that he dealt with on a regular basis. They were setting Jesus up so that they could accuse him. The devil is a master of the setup for entrapment. God will set you up to succeed. The devil will set you up so that he can ensnare you, so that he can condemn you and destroy you. That's ultimately what he wants to do. Jesus says, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man that is a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. When we come together to worship God, we are acknowledging that God values us. When you are not in the house of God, you are missed. Someone might sit in the same seat you sat in, but they will not take your place. There is no substitute for you. There is no substitute for the grace of God that you've experienced in your life. There is no substitute for the blessings that God has poured out into you so that you can bless others as well. We are blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. So Jesus says, it is because man is so valuable to God, and we recognize the value that God is. That's why we are in the house of God on our day of rest, our day of worship. He says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he goes over to the man and he says, stretch out your hand, that hand that was withered, that hand that had shriveled and was drawn in. And it says the man stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the others. And the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him, because they weren't interested in people being made whole. They were interested in looking for another point of accusation against Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, Paul journeyed while he was in Philippi. He went to the place of prayer. So when we come together, there had better be prayer in the house of God. Every Sunday morning, we have intercessory prayer at our church. There are people who are praying. There's early morning prayer that takes place at 6 on Tuesdays. We have special prayer in our services, because what could be better than coming into God's house and actually having a conversation with God and finding that as much as you love to talk to God, others love to talk to him just as well. Amen. I think we would find a whole lot more rest. I'm looking forward to a greater manifestation of the supernatural rest that God provides for us. I'm looking for that in my own life. You know, my son, probably 10 years ago, I said, you know, I'm going to do this one more project, and then I'm going to slow down. And by then he was already an adult, and he said, Dad, you're lying to yourself. And I said, Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. And here I am, you know, all these years later, I'm still just as busy as I always have been. Let's not continue to lie to ourselves and deprive ourselves of this precious gift that God has given to us of the Sabbath, where we get to come together and honor God. We get to celebrate His holiness and celebrate His compassion and His mercy. We don't have to go in there looking down our noses at somebody else. Instead, we look at a person that God wants to make their life better and say, you know what? I believe that God is able to do that. I believe that God is willing to do that. And I believe that He is going to do that because God values you. Remember, His commandments are the best ways. His ways are higher than our ways. There is never any fault in His logic, never any failure in His wisdom. When He gives us a gift, it's because it is for our benefit. Jesus said, it is expedient for you. It's in your best interest that I go to the Father, because if I don't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit will not come. And so everything He does is for our benefit. And so I want to encourage you. I believe that we can get more accomplished by honoring the Lord with a day of rest than we can by going pedal to the metal all the time, 7 days a week, and never enjoying our relationship with God. You know, with tithing, we've discovered and continue to experience the blessing of God that 90% goes farther than 100% when we honor God with that 10%. And I believe that when we honor God by worshiping Him with God's people in His house, that we will find that we'll be able to accomplish more in the other 6 days than we could by working seven. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing. What I want my praise to be, like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings.
Whatever, Lord, you may need from me, that's what I want my praise to be to you. Everything I could give you already possess. Lord, I'm so unworthy, yeah, I'm just one of